We are all in shock and disbelief, and the loss of Tanya leaves a giant gaping hole in our lives. Tanya was an amazing energy healer and animal lover, with a special fondness for cats. Tanya deserves justice, and her family deserves answers. To the person or persons responsible, please grow a conscience and take responsibility for your actions.
Wednesday morning, as the lines open here at the Evan Gray Show, 1-877-332-8255. I can tell you the majority of texts that are coming in this morning, and they are piling in, reminding people in the fog to flip your lights on, physically turn them on, not just expect the daylight driving lights are enough. We need those, the taillights to come on as well. So that means that you actually have to flip the switch as if you're driving at night. People reporting the fog is thick, dense, low to the ground, making it very tough to sometimes even see the side roads where vehicles are turning on. So it's a tough one until that fog lifts. It's be very, very careful on the highways, certainly in and around the Saskatoon area going east and west. Heavy fog this morning. Well, this situation in Weyburn, the shooting that happened on the highway just outside of Weyburn, continues to unfold. Yesterday, the RCMP confirmed the name of the victim, Tanya Myers, and our heart goes out to her family, her friends, the community. I cannot imagine a 44-year-old woman fatally shot simply riding as a passenger in a vehicle down Highway 39 near Weyburn. And now, of course, we know that there was a second vehicle that the next morning when they woke up, they heard they were traveling behind the Ford Explorer that Tanya Myers was in. They, too, heard a couple of loud bangs or noises. They thought maybe it was something hitting the windshield, couldn't see anything. They actually passed the Ford Explorer without knowing what had happened to them. They get home, park their vehicle for the night, and the next morning the tire is flat. They put all of this together, the noises they heard, now what they're hearing on the news about the shooting. They call the RCMP, and investigation shows their tire was shot as well. And by the way, the RCMP did also confirm that the autopsy that was done on Tanya Myers showed that she was shot. This situation is mind-boggling to me. And of course, investigators at this point with the RCMP they're working diligently on this to try and figure out what happened. But at this point, there still is no answer to that. And what happens is the absence of that has a lot of people speculating. I was talking with a good friend of mine last night who said, you know, I think this is for someone doing target practice. And I'm sorry, but I don't think so. This seems too, now that we know there's two vehicles, and I'm not trying to be alarmist, but I'm also trying to be a realist about this. You know, someone shooting at a coyote, you know, as I said, there's lots of factors. If we're talking a long distance, a high powered rifle and a long distance, I mean, there are gun experts that will tell you there's drop that happens to the bullet. I mean, it's not as simple as aim and point. So the chance that there's two shots, two different vehicles that actually hit the vehicles. Again, I'm not trying to be alarmist on it, but I'm also trying to be a realist of this. I just feel like there's something more to this. And this has people worried. I have people this morning. I got a message from Cameron who says he's got to travel to Mydale on Friday. And this has got him thinking. This has got people thinking because in our province, would you ever think that it's not safe to simply drive down the highway? I mean, yes, we're vigilant to traffic accidents, but not someone in the ditch. So boy, I'll tell you, the RCMP's ask, and we had Superintendent Josh Graham on the program earlier this week. I appreciated him joining us for that exclusive chat. But their ask right now is they're basically looking at the time frame between 7:45 and 8:30 on Friday night, September the 12th. They want anyone who's got buildings, homes, property along that section of Highway 39 heading into Weyburn, Highway 13, that area. If you have video surveillance, if you have doorbell cam, anything like that, they would like you to not only look at it, but turn it over to the RCMP. Because you never know. I mean, if you look at it and all you see is three vehicles, but if they can stitch together eight pieces of video that have one vehicle suspiciously traveling back and forth in different directions, pulling off to the side of the road. I mean, what looks normal to you in the grand scheme of the investigation, could be a missing piece or an important piece of the puzzle. So we need to help the RCMP in this investigation as much as we can. And of course, we know that the family statement that was read out yesterday by Superintendent Graham asked the person involved to grow a conscience, take responsibility for your actions. Tanya deserves justice. Her family deserves answers. What a tragic situation. And I cannot even believe that we're talking about this happening in our province. So continue to follow along. We'll continue to stay in touch, obviously, with the RCMP as things continue to develop and unfold there. Well, we have lots of different things going on. I mentioned yesterday, we found out late in the day yesterday that November 4th is going to be the day we hear the federal budget announced. Typically, budget is reserved for spring, but because of the election and a few other things, it was determined the budget was going to be pushed off. I mean, at one time, there was talk that we wouldn't get a budget at all. Now we know we'll get it, but we'll get it November the 4th. What do you expect? What do you want to see in this budget? Is it going to be possible? Now, we know Prime Minister Mark Carney has said he has asked all different areas and departments within government to look for 15% savings. He's wanting to trim back that operational budget. In some cases, it won't be filling of jobs, or it will be actually through attrition, removing jobs to try and limit the amount of money that they spend on the operational budget, the capital budget, which has to do with a lot of these infrastructure projects and even some of the defense spending. That one, you know, is going to go up. And so we're looking at, I'm guessing, a significant deficit again. How do you reconcile this? What would you like to see in the budget? 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open for you. I'm happy to take your calls on whatever you would like to talk about. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's grab the call from Arnold in Regina. How are you today, Arnold?
I'm doing just fine, Mr. Bray. Thanks for taking my call. I was stunned to hear the announcement. I think it was yesterday when you announced that Krista Freeland was going to be had a new position where she was going to help reconstruct Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I guess for me, what that means is she's going to be working with Vladimir Putin, right?
How do you figure that, Arnold?
Well, because the territory that Ukraine has lost already and that's damaged so much by the special military operation, it will not go back. So, like, this will not be returned to Ukraine.
I think part of the problem is we don't know what is this job description. Like, what is she going to do? Special representative for the reconstruction of Ukraine. I don't even know what that is.
It just shows how the nonsense to it. Like, NATO, you see Britain is falling apart. France is falling apart. NATO does not have the ability to take this terror. All they're doing is posturing. And I must say, I was a little bit upset with the caller that you had on the other day referring to me as just going down a rabbit hole and being clueless about it. He had some good points, but for him to quote what happened back in 1902, how the Russians were beat in 1902, I think that's a little bit of a different time. You did give him all the credibility in the world. He sounded like a really smart guy. He did sound like that. But I would suggest to you that he has some skin in the game. He says that he's been helping Ukraine, and good for him. They do need help. But he's probably a military guy training guys, right, that are going to go off to their death. This will not be turned around. Trust me.
Yeah. One of the topics, too, Arnold, that a lot of people are speculating on. In fact, I read an article in the Globe and Mail this morning saying, does this move have anything to do with Mark Carney's government trying to further distance themselves from Justin Trudeau's era as prime minister? I mean, Krista Freeland is very closely tied with the Trudeau government, although we do know that it was 9 months ago to the day, figure that out, yesterday she announces, or they announced, that she's stepping away from cabinet. 9 months earlier, she, of course, wrote that scathing letter. We talked about that day on this program, where she basically says, I'm done with you and I'm out of here. saying she's stepping away from cabinet. She doesn't agree with the spending that Trudeau and the executive team had put together with the federal government, and so she was stepping away. And many people at that time speculate, well, is she doing that to try and insulate herself a bit so she can run for leader, which she did, not successfully, but clearly has a different and a better relationship with Prime Minister Mark Carney. So, I until I see the job description, I don't know if this is a good thing. We still have an ambassador to Ukraine. That's not the job she's filling. This is a specially created job. This will be part of, I'm assuming, what Canada will count as their contribution in funding and support and resources to help Ukraine. And my interpretation, just judging by the title of it, Special Representative for the Reconstruction of Ukraine, it's helping Ukraine rebuild after this war that's been going on now for a number of years. No job description, and I'm guessing it will probably stay quiet for a time going forward. By the way, this might be a good time to tell you that coming up later next week, in fact, it's Thursday of next week, we are bringing in a couple of guests that you got to know through the federal election. John Gormley, heard of him? Doug Richardson. Both of those fellas we had on a federal panel. And so I wanted to bring them back in, and we've got them for an hour next Thursday, and we're going to talk about, you know, what's your evaluation of what the federal government has done so far? Have they done some good things? I'll ask John, have you been pleasantly surprised? Is this a step away from, a departure from the old Liberal government? We'll get into a variety of topics, but I'm sure Doug will have some insight into this position. He's very closely tied with the Liberal government. So John Gormley, Doug Richardson joining us next Thursday morning on the program. I'm looking forward to that chat. Okay, let's take a break. I know I've got a couple of calls on the line. I got lots of texts coming in as well. It's open lines, 1-877-332-8255, here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I think it was that she resigned rather than introduce a $62 billion deficit. I think she said the Liberals were trying to force her to introduce a deficit of $62 billion. And she said, this is irresponsible, it is out of control, and it will cause massive inflation.
Lots of reaction to the announcement. Chrystia Freeland is no longer in cabinet. She has been appointed to be Canada's new special representative for the reconstruction of Ukraine. She will continue to finish out this term as MP, will not be running in the next election, and will fill that role full time after whenever the next federal election is. So, I mean, technically, she could be the MP and do this job for quite some time. We could be 4 years away from a federal election, being as we just had one. 1-877-332-8255, the number to call. By the way, I mentioned there's lots, of course, of reaction to this, and I noticed in the Globe and Mail an opinion editorial this morning that said the removal of Chrystia Freeland is an elegant solution to a political problem that had to be solved. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Perry in Osler. Are you in the fog belt this morning, Perry?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, it's very foggy. I'm hearing it's very foggy.
Yeah, it is. It's almost like a light rain. Combining may not go today.
Yeah, might be too wet. Okay, what do you got for me today on open lines?
Mark Carney and his five projects we're talking about.
Yep.
I'm worried about them and the timing, because with these tariffs on canola seed and canola oil, is, well, China's going, well, you drop the, you cut us off of the EV mandate. So we're upset, so they do this. So now they're going, well, if you leave foreign investment, invest in these mega projects, maybe we'll drop your tariffs on canola oil, canola seed. It's all the wrong way. We have too much foreign investment through China, and that's how we got here. Mm-hmm. And we actually have to do the opposite. We should get rid of our lithium and our rare earth mineral deal with them.
It's, you know, it's an interesting observation, Perry, because many have pointed to the you know, the shipbuilding contract to the tune of $1 billion that Canada signed with China to help the BC ferry situation. As a good example, you're talking about foreign investment with these infrastructure projects. Are they going to limit that while these continued fights happen? It's a fair and valid point. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people weighing in on the text line as well. Many people wondering, how does she get to stay in her spot? How does Chrystia Freeland get to stay in her spot? Many calling this nothing more than a golden handshake. Dave and Assiniboine. So this is a golden handshake. He feels like it's a waste of Canadian tax dollars. I don't know the job description. I would love to know what she's going to do. And does Ukraine want a random Canadian coming over and helping them with the reconstruction of their country? Right? If Canada, I mean, it's hard to even imagine this, but if Canada was going through some sort of struggle and Ukraine said, we're going to send someone over there to help you out. I don't know. I'm guessing there's maybe supplies, there's money, there's different ways in which support could be given. Is this a good use of it? 1-877-332-8255. Colleen from Buena Vista saying, yeah, that $1 billion loan to China for BC ferries, Chrystia Freeland is tied to that. She was saying that she couldn't back out of it because it comes through the Canadian Investment Bank and there was no way that the Canadian government could back away from it. But Colleen pointing out, this is just another example of her jumping off the ship when it gets wavy and times get tough. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people texting on the Weyburn shooting. Lynn in Saskatoon saying, you know, you think about this Weyburn shooting, the reports that we get, and this is partly the report from family, said that the victim in this case, Tanya Myers, 44 years old, was a quiet, stay to herself kind of a person. In fact, they say she didn't go out very often. It was rare for her to be out on the town. Lynn is saying, I would hope that they're looking into why she was out this night. She wasn't a person that did this very often. Maybe that will give some clues as to what's going on. I trust the RCMP are on top of that. Tom and Dundurn agreeing with me. He does not feel that this is just somebody doing target practice or sighting in a rifle. Two hits on two different vehicles is not random, says Tom. 1-877-332-8255. People are speculating, is this a gang initiation? No different than sometimes the drive-by shootings that you see happening on homes. It's a tragic situation, and I continue to express my condolences to the Myers family, to the friends, to the community of Tanya slain in what we still don't know, whether it's an attempt take a life, an accident, misuse of a firearm, negligence situation. But hopefully the RCMP will be able to give us answers in the very near future. Open Lines continues when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
It's one of the irritants, and there's irritants on both sides. Canada has, trade issues with China, notably canola, but there's irritants on the other side as well, whether it be EVs or other products as well. And it is one of the parts of the dialogue that needs to happen. And, you know, as we look forward to the next number of weeks and months, what I would hope is that there's an increasing frequency of that dialogue, increasing presence of Canadian ministers meeting with their Chinese counterparts, so that we can find a spot that is, constructive for both countries moving forward.
Premier Scott Moe in Ottawa yesterday. So he literally got back to Saskatchewan on a plane from his meetings in China. And he went to Japan as well. But, of course, those meetings very targeted in China to try and deal with the damaging canola tariffs that the ag industry is dealing with, the tariffs on peas, the tariffs on pork, these Chinese tariffs, something that are of an urgent nature for agriculture. But I would say in our province, it's probably been the main focus of the Scott Moe government. So he goes over to do that, comes back. He's not even back a day. He goes to Ottawa. I love the fact that he was able to sit down with the prime minister literally the day he got back from China. So to me, I mean, we all were speculating for a while, will the prime minister go with Premier Mo to China? We find out, no, he sends his parliamentary secretary, Cody Bloys, which many people saying, you know what, that's a good sign. That shows that this is an urgent and prioritized matter for the prime minister and for the government. So that happens. But the fact that Scott Mo can get a meeting the next day with the prime minister, I think that's positive. And I have to say, I think the premier has taken some good steps on this. You look at what is in his arsenal. What can the premier do about this? Knowing that it's a nation-to-nation rectify that has to happen. Ultimately, we need the leaders of both countries to be able to sit down and figure out a solution to this. But I think that for a leader of a province that knows this is a priority for the province, knows this is important to agriculture, the industry that is a big part of our economic development here in this province, I like what he's done. I think he's hit on all the pieces, and the fact that he could get that speaks to a couple of things. Number one, exploring every option to try and push this forward and get results. But number two, clearly there's a good relationship between the two. They may not see eye to eye on everything. And I look at Daniel Smith as well. We are seeing the prairie provinces that at every given moment were strapping on boxing gloves a year ago are now finding ways to sit down, to talk things through, to reason what an outcome might be that serves the needs of both the federal government and the provincial government. And this is another example of that. So I applaud the mission and I applaud the follow-up meeting with the prime minister. Let's hope they keep this momentum going. Let's hope that they will continue to put pressure, have meetings, do whatever they need to do to get these Chinese tariffs removed. Okay, phone lines are open for you, 1-877-332-8255. We were talking about Chrystia Freeland, who has been moved. She has resigned her spot from cabinet. She has been appointed a special representative for the reconstruction of Ukraine, essentially a special envoy. And, you know, I said I haven't seen a job description. I don't know what this means. It doesn't mean, though, that the federal government has never appointed special envoys in the past. This has happened many times. You might remember Ian McKay, this was back in 2018, was named a special envoy to Japan to assist at that time Canada's final negotiations with that whole Trans-Pacific partnership that was being put together. So the use of a special envoy is not foreign to the federal government. I'm just not sure how it's going to be used. I want to bring Jason into this conversation, calling from Weyburn. Jason, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts on this appointment for Chrystia Freeland?
I think the Ukrainians will take it, but the job description of the special envoy of reconstruction, I mean, before you start reconstruction, you got to stop getting the country blown up in the first place. So until that happens and there's peace, you really can't start fixing stuff, because as soon as you start fixing it, Vladimir Putin's going to blow it up. Now, Vladimir Putin is not my favorite person. He doesn't like Chrystia Freeland, apparently. And so in that weird way, the conservative from Saskatchewan is happy the liberal pisses Vladimir Putin off. But this war's not going to end anytime soon. I wish we didn't give so much money Ukraine and we gave them more stuff.
Right.
Because you can't launder a tank. So I wish we gave them more stuff, but we have given them money. We don't have a lot of weapons to give them because we don't have a lot of weapons and our military needs some massive, massive upgrades. So that's my two cents on it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, before you go, Jason, we always appreciate your calls. Knowing you're calling from Weyburn, we're sorry about the incident that is going on, this investigation. Can you talk about how people you talk to in that community are feeling after the shooting?
On edge would be the best way I would put it. And I have some connections in the police, like yourself, and a very good person that I know who knows firearms and also works for a police institution told me it's very hard to hit a moving vehicle with a high-powered rifle at range. And to hit two, you have to be a pretty damn good shot. So that really makes me uneasy would be the best way of putting it.
Yeah, I cannot imagine. Anyway, Jason, thank you for calling in. Always appreciate your conversation. So, by the way, open lines simply means we can talk about whatever you want. And I want to get to Dallas. Dallas has been waiting patiently, calling in from Regina. And Dallas, I'm interested to hear what you've got to say, because I've got my own story that I'm going to jump on your bandwagon here. Regina Parking Enforcement, what do you got for me?
Yeah, so this kind of coincides with how I say we talk about streamlining and mismanagement of government funds. This definitely relates. So I called on last week talking about the Pasqua Hospital issue here in Regina about parking enforcement being pretty particular. So my issue here is the due process on how they handle people that want to disagree with the ruling of the bylaw that they allegedly disobeyed, and in order to go to court. So as it stands right now, basically you get a ticket, you can apply online in order to, dispute it where they look over it. You can't submit evidence or anything. It gives you just a little bit of time. It takes 8 weeks sometimes, if not longer to do that. Then they'll issue a verdict via email. And in order for you to actually go to court, you can't say, hey, I want to argue this in court. You have to wait until you get a summons in the mail, which to me, why can't you automatically say you want to go to court, you want to argue or dispute this ticket? They want you to wait for a summons, which all the summons does when you go to court or traffic court is to issue a plea. So if you go not guilty, then you have to wait another umpteen million weeks until you finally get a court date where you can bring your evidence and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Like, why are we playing dominoes here? Like, this should be a process where a person, a civilian, has the ability to say, no, I disagree. I don't want to waste time going to court to issue a plea. I'm already saying I believe I'm not guilty. Let me put it in when I apply on the city of Regina if they want to expedite and allow the online to take a portion of how to handle this. Immediately say, this is what I want to do. And then the government or whatever bylaw enforcement can go, okay, we're going to skip this entire court nonsense for the plea. This man or woman wants to go ahead and fight this ticket in court. They have evidence. Then let's just skip all that, expedite this process so we're not wasting a bunch of governmental funds. When we talk about the main problem of government not being able to streamline process,
get out of its way,
all this wasting money, Evan, this is ridiculous. This has been an archaic thing that's been happening for years, and I really love to hear your story, but thanks for taking my call. This needs to be corrected.
Awesome. Well, Dallas, my story is actually a little different than yours, but I appreciate your passion. You make great sense. It seems like they're putting in steps that don't need to be there, that could be streamlined. And the old saying of justice delayed is justice denied, it doesn't just mean for a criminal code court purpose. It can be for something like a parking ticket, as Dallas is pointing out there. My bugaboo is about the meters, because if you are plugging a meter with coins, no worries. You just have to go out every couple of hours and plug the meter. I was in a meeting recently downtown where I plugged the meter, paid the meter through my phone. So you use your phone. And I thought, this is perfect, because I'll use the app when I'm up in the meeting. I was in the Twin Tower, so I'm up in the meeting. I don't have to go down and physically put change in. I can use my phone. You can't renew your time at the same meter, because you have to put the meter number in. So you actually can't renew your time at the same block. You have to physically go out and move your vehicle, or just put coins in it. So this whole notion, I mean, someone said, well, what they're trying to do is prevent you from parking in one spot all day and simply just renewing your time. Well, I don't know. Is that a bad thing? For people that are wanting to plug the meter, I'm willing to pay every 2 hours, but why do I have to physically go out there and put coins in the meter or move my car around the block and then start another meter? Anyway, these are good things for Chad Baczynski, our mayor, the next time he's in on the program. Have I got time for one more call? One more quick call. Okay, we'll go to Les before the break. Les in Corning. I think you're taking us back to the Chrystia Freeland discussion. What do you got for me, Les?
Yeah, Chrystia Freeland's going over to Ukraine to help Mark Carney and try push these cardboard houses that Mark Carney's invested in. And in the end, I think Chrystia Freeland's going to run, just like Mark Carney coming to Canada, being an outsider. I think she's going to go as an outsider and try to jump in and take over leadership of Ukraine.
You really think so, Les? I don't know if she'll go that far. Many people are speculating that this is a way to insulate the current government from the old Trudeau government. And there's a known connection. It appears there's a personal friendship between Mark Carney and Chrystia Freeland, which many would say, okay, so he trusts her. If we're wanting to designate, like, here's another question. Has Ukraine asked for this? Like, I'm saying, number one, I'd like to see a job description. What's she going to do? Number two, someone pointed this out on the text line. What's the cost? And I'm not just talking about her wage, because there's going to be a budget that goes along with this for travel, for assistance, for expenses that go with this. So job description, budget, and was this asked for? Does Ukraine even want this? Those are the three questions I would like to have answered. Let's take a break. We'll come back and finish up our open lines here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
I think if we are going to build the strongest economy in the G7, and we will, we need to be clear about the scale of the crisis we are in. We need to be clear about the scale of investment that we need. $60 billion in new projects announced last week. $200 billion in investment announced last week. That's the scale of what we need.
You got a friend in me.
Well, the federal government announced yesterday that the budget will be happening on November the 4th. Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne says the government will table their federal budget on November the 4th. This will be the first, of course, under Prime Minister Mark Carney. So many people are saying, okay, this will be interesting. He's a finance guy. You'd think this would be his wheelhouse. So it will be interesting to see what this looks like. They're calling it a generational investment in Canada's future. What we heard from the finance minister yesterday, they're going to build the country. They're going to protect communities. They're going to empower Canadians. They have billed this budget as being one of both cost cutting and investment. And this, of course, has many people scratching their heads saying, how can you do both? I expect this is going to be an exercise in really dividing what they call the operational budget and the capital budget. The capital budget is where a lot of those big infrastructure spends and even some of the defense spending will be allocated. That budget likely to balloon. Will they be able to show a reduction in the operational budget? Yet to be seen. 1-877-332-8255. I got an interesting text from Dan just outside of Saskatoon. He said, Evan, my very first call as a young Mountie was a guy named, and I'm not going to say the name. I did a quick search and I can't find that this fellow was charged, so I'm going to be careful not to say the name. But he named someone. He said, so his very first call as a young Mountie, young RCMP officer, was this fella shooting at cars as they passed on the road. It was a random thing for him, but he also didn't hit any vehicles. It was broad daylight. He was sober. He was just a little off center, as Dan puts it. That's 40 years ago now. So people are saying it's not that easy. Some people saying it's not that easy to be shooting at moving cars. Others saying, well, depends on how close you are. Tom out of Saskatoon says, you know, we may never learn the whole reason why behind these highway shootings are happening. But if we do, he feels as if it's a young person with a troubled history or some sort of a learning development challenge that thinks it would be fun to shoot tires out on vehicles like in the movies. And one shot obviously was deadly. And again, we think of Tanya Myers, the 44-year-old who was killed on Friday night, gunshot through a vehicle as she was traveling on Highway 39 just outside of Weyburn. Text line has been busy today. Cameron in Regina said, I am not sure if I need my ears checked, but I thought I heard a clip on the news last night of Mark Carney thanking Scott Moe for his leadership in the China trip. We talked a bit about this earlier, and Scott Moe on with Vashi Kapelos last night, and you know, really being careful, the premier's being careful not to say we absolutely need to remove the China tariffs. Talked about it's a little more nuanced than that.
It's one of the irritants, and there's irritants on both sides. Canada has, you know, trade issues with China, notably canola, but there's irritants on the other side as well, whether it be EVs or other products as well. And it, so it is one of the parts of the dialogue that needs to happen. And, you know, as we look forward to the next number of weeks and months, what I would hope is that there's an increase frequency of that dialogue, increasing presence of Canadian ministers meeting with their Chinese counterparts, so that we can find a spot that is, you know, constructive for both countries moving forward.
Really wanting to keep that momentum going and urging the federal government now to send their representatives over, hopefully the prime minister, to meet with their leaders and actually get this deal done. Okay, well, tell you what, we are going to step away from some of these very serious and important conversations that we're having, and we're going to step into an area that's a little more light and bubbly. Well, not always light and bubbly. We're going to talk beer. We've got Sean Moen coming in, the CEO of Nine Mile Legacy Brewing. We're going to talk a bit about the brewing business, how it's weathering these trade and tariff situations. And then we're opening up lines for your questions. We've got a brewmaster on the show today. What would you like to ask? 1-877-332-8255. The conversation with Sean Moen coming up next here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.